good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. Wherever you are, you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, and or what used to be Twitter. We have a lot of stuff coming up on the show today. Dan Schaefer will be here from the award-winning, you know, they just won more awards from the Milwaukee Press Club.
I know. This is like their whole, like, they win so many awards.
They do. Award-winning Recombobulation Area joins us every Friday at 10:33. Lots of things to kick around there. Next hour, this broke earlier this week, and we haven't had a chance to talk about it. Sometimes that happens with the news cycle when there are so many things that are breaking and happening. But it's related to the former president and his appeal to the gas companies and oil companies. And I think these are some important details that people need to be made aware of. So we are going to talk about that after the 11 o'clock news. And then we're going to lighten things up for the last half hour of the show. Sunday is Mother's Day.
Yes, it is.
So if you start thinking about it now, you can always text in your responses now. But we just want to hear your favorite mom story.
Yeah.
It can be sweet. It can be funny. We just want to celebrate mom.
It can even be a little bit sad if you're missing mom this Sunday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that will come up at 11:33.
Or grandmas, too. Let's open it up to grandmas.
You bet. Yeah. So be thinking about it. And again, if you want to text it in now or you want to wait until 11:33, 855-752-4842. And you can send it to janesays@civicmedia.us. If you ever want to get in touch with us directly. And I wanted to thank Andrew from Maine, who reminded me about the honor flights.
Yes.
That it's a wonderful, wonderful program. It really is. And he was the one who said, hey, don't forget about the honor flight. And I was like, that is a really good reminder. So I reached out to them, and we're going to be talking to one of their folks, Karen Relke, from Honor Flight, in a couple of weeks.
That's great.
Yeah, before Memorial Day. So they have one coming up a little later this month, and then they have one in June also.
Well, the barbershop I used to work at, the original owner, Jose, he was a Korean war vet, and he did it, and it was amazing. And like, it's just tears for days of joy and support and love. And, you know, that's when patriotism takes on like a new form. It can be a very divisive word, but yes. Like patriotism, when you see these vets get on the flight and so excited, they get met in DC. It's just, okay. Yeah. I'll probably cry during that interview. So that's fine.
I got to go along on one a number of years ago. Yeah. And it was, like you said, you get emotional. You're happy, you're sad, yeah. You cry. The welcome they get at airports.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That's something folks should be a part of because it's incredible.
And it's all in a day.
Yeah, it's like, one day. It's a long day for some of those guys too. Yeah, so. It really is. But anyway, that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So thank you, Andrew, for that suggestion. Send your suggestions if you have a topic or a guest you'd like to have us on. We'll have them on the show. Send an email.
You're so excited about today's show.
I know.
You cannot wait to get the words out of your mouth. And those words are the best words.
Thank you.
Because you have the biggest brain.
Of all. janesays@civicmedia.us. We do have some breaking news I wanted to start with real quickly. Steve Bannon.
Great.
One step closer to jail after refusing to comply with a House subpoena during the January 6th investigation. The former White House chief strategist was convicted for refusing a congressional subpoena to testify. So this has been unanimously upheld by a 3-judge panel of the D.C. Court of Appeals. Something I saw earlier this morning said one of the judges was appointed by Obama, one by Biden, and one by Donald Trump. So his 4-month jail sentence was put on hold while they were waiting for this ruling. Now, this isn't the end of it. He's not going to jail today.
Yeah.
He can still appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, and I'm sure Jim Santel will probably talk about this tomorrow morning.
We're going to need
an amicus brief.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he can also still take it to the Supreme Court.
Could you imagine that? To me, if they were like, yeah, we'll take up that case, that's when I know there's no going back with the Supreme Court. All 9 of them, get rid of them. Just start over. Term limits of 10 years. I don't want them to have to run, but whatever. I'm over the Supreme Court.
I think a lot of people are over the Supreme Court.
And all of them, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not feeling particularly warm towards the Democrats who were on that panel when they were talking, when there was talk about having an ethics committee and some rules that these justices have to follow. And the Democrats didn't want to do that either.
Yeah. That's
what, because it's a good gig, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Lifetime appointment. You never get fired. You have to be.
You get free trips.
No one has been incompetent enough to get thrown off the court in my lifetime, at least. I'm sure there's someone listening right now. Whoa, Greg, in 1843, Rutherford P. Bamfin. I don't know. I just made the name.
I like that.
But yeah, So, all right. Sorry.
It's okay. So I just wanted to start off with that. So because that is breaking as we come on the air. We talked about this. I think it was earlier this week, Greg, when we talked about this ad that Super PAC supporting Eric Hovde, they had to pull it because it was incorrect. Daily Kos has an article. Wisconsin TV stations pulled an ad by a GOP super PAC, which, by the way, the Restoration PAC is largely funded by Dick Eline.
Hometown favorite, boy done good.
In this super PAC, they falsely accused Senator Tammy Baldwin of voting to cut Medicare. And then attorneys pointed out that no such vote had ever taken place. Whoops. Now, we always wonder why there's no ramifications. Where does this, where does the buck end?
Yes.
At least as far as accountability goes with things like this. And I did not realize this. Third party groups are the ones who can be held accountable. It's not the politicians. It's not the PACs.
Yeah.
It's the TV stations.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Restoration PAC was vulnerable to the Democrats' request to pull the ad because TV stations can be held liable for publishing defamatory statements by third-party groups, one of the very few ways in which there can be accountability for lying in the public arena.
Let's be clear here. I don't care that you said something that's wrong. I don't care that it's full of lies and it's casting dispersions upon this person, but I don't want to get in trouble, so I can't do it.
Candidates have a lot more leeway, again, according to the Daily Kos, under federal law. And we have an announcement about this.
Yeah. Yes.
Broadcasters cannot refuse to air ads from candidates' campaigns as long as they're paid for. Consequently, stations can't be sued for defamatory ads from candidates because you have to run them.
Yeah.
But they face no such obligation when it comes to an outside group, so a PAC or a super PAC. Stations have to be a lot more careful. They could find themselves hauled into court over false third-party advertisements. Ultimately, Restoration PAC, funded largely by Dick Eline, replaced it with a different version. They said that she voted to cut Medicare. She didn't do that.
No, she would never do that.
She wouldn't do that. He argued that Baldwin used Medicare money for electric vehicle subsidies instead of going to seniors. The PAC claimed it made the swap before Democratic groups complained. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a spokesperson for Senator Tammy Baldwin says the new ad is just as false as the last one.
And that's the thing, too, is like, what is the line that goes from misinformation to just a little bit of a lie?
It's a lot of lie.
I mean, well, but my point is that if the first one is if the new one is just as false as the first one, how can the second one be aired at all?
Apparently it was a little less. Blatant,
yeah, exactly.
Blatant lying.
I know. That's what I want. I want someone to show me that line. Like, you know, that's what I want, because
how far is far enough?
When an ad claims that Tammy Baldwin cuts Medicare, even Republicans are like, no, she didn't. That's not her at all. She would never do that.
It's kind of like, let's throw it out there and see what sticks.
Exactly.
And see how long we can get away with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
In this case, that you got away with it for like 12 seconds.
Yeah. That didn't last very long.
Yeah.
Again, at least I guess there's some accountability, because we always ask about it. Because we always ask about this. It's like, okay, who gets punished?
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, that it's on the TV station.
Yeah.
It's not on the PAC producing the lie.
No, that means that the TV station, which, you know, has tons of time as it is between, like, trying to stay afloat, run ads, run TV, like, you know, trying to be successful. They also have to do deep research.
Right? To make sure they don't get sued for running someone else's fake ad. Speaking of ads.
You know what ads should really check into their facts? I think you're, yeah.
The one that we got?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a in case you haven't heard it, completely real and totally legitimate attack ad that is running against Tammy Baldwin. Kind of surprised. It's only on our show. I don't know how that happens. But
very small budget.
Teeny budget. Calvin, let's play that completely real and totally legitimate vicious attack ad, please.
Wisconsin's two U.S. senators couldn't be more different. Democrat Tammy Baldwin keeps getting things done for her constituents. She helped secure funding for infrastructure projects like the Blatnik Bridge and made sure Wisconsin seniors can afford life-saving insulin. But Republican Senator Ron Johnson knows exactly what needs to happen to make your life better.
I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation.
This November, elect the wealthy California guy who sits in frozen lakes. Just like Senator Johnson, he'll work hard when he gets to Washington, just not for you.
Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC. Also, Senator Baldwin has no idea who we are and does not endorse this message.
We are working on getting a SoundCloud.
So
hopefully next week.
Next week, Civic Media has a SoundCloud page, and we're going to be getting those ads loaded up. And as soon as they are, we will let you know. And keep it there for new ads that might be dropping. Who knows?
I heard a rumor.
There's a rumor.
There might be a new, completely real, totally legitimate attack ad coming in the next couple of weeks.
That's weird. I was called and asked if I have any problem meeting people in trench coats with fedoras and sunglasses.
And suitcases?
In parking lots at midnight.
That sounds completely legitimate. Ron Johnson kind of did something like that when he took that envelope that contained the fake electors, but he didn't know it was in there, and he had absolutely no problem with delivering it. We're just emulating him.
I mean, thank you. It might be Ron Johnson who gives it to me. Oh, my God, a celebrity.
Stay with us. 855-752-4842, and join us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B on the board. Waiting to take your calls at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Just want to remind you, at 11:33, Mother's Day is Sunday. So we're going to be talking your favorite mom memories. Mm-hmm. And it can be sweet, it can be sad, it can be funny. I have one in particular. My mother was great. She didn't mean for it to be funny, but it was hilarious.
It's hard to come up with mom memories when you're on the spot there, too. It's like,
start thinking about it now.
Yeah.
Yep, start thinking about it now. And if you want, you can start texting them in if you can't stick around until 11:33. But favorite mom memories in honor of all moms.
Yep.
Because Sunday is Mother's Day, so you still have time to get a gift. We were talking about voting by mail with Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin a couple of days ago. And then a caller had mentioned his concern about voting absentee ballot and mailing it in and it not getting there in time.
Yes.
And so this brought up Postmaster General Louis DeJoy and how he is handling the post office, because he's been in that position for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
As we also learned, President Biden cannot remove him. There's a board.
Yes.
And they are the ones who make that determination, correct?
Because the post office is actually, if I'm not mistaken, and I've been told this, the post office is not a governmental body. It's not a part of the government. It works directly with the government. It's actually run privately. And they have a board of governors who decides who the postmaster general is going to be. I'm sure they probably take suggestions, recommendations.
But maybe, the ultimate authority
maybe
is
not
theirs.
In this case.
But, yeah, right.
But yeah, so yeah, the President Biden has nothing to do with the gas prices, your grocery prices,
Or the Postmaster General.
Just so you know. So Democratic Representative Mark Pocan showed up on my Twitter feed yesterday, and apparently Mr. DeJoy came before a committee, and he got a little cranky about it.
Ooh, I like it when cranky people get cranky.
Calvin, let's play that clip from Mark Pocan, please.
I wanted to give you a quick update on a meeting we had yesterday with Postmaster Louis DeJoy in my subcommittee hearing on the Appropriations Committee. First of all, it was a little bit odd. Almost every hearing we have is a public hearing so that people can watch it on TV and you can be informed about what was discussed. The Postmaster General apparently didn't want to have a public meeting. And after the meeting, I completely understand why. I didn't think it was possible, but Louis DeJoy figured out how to bring Democrats and Republicans completely together. I read through complaints that we've had in my district about mail not being delivered. And then I listened to people in Georgia and people in Nevada and people in Iowa and Democrats and Republicans all talk about problems they have, mainly due to management decisions by the Postmaster General. DeJoy was very combative. All he could say is that his job is to save money. The good news is, afterwards, I was fist bumping with Republicans, and we were talking about trying to do a joint bipartisan letter because we were not satisfied with the responses that we got. Maybe in this dysfunctional Congress, there's that little bit of hope that we could have in trying to do something bipartisan. If you are a Postal Board of Governor and listening, fire up. But for everyone else, I just wanted to give you a quick update.
Representative Mark Pocan on Twitter yesterday talking about a little meeting that a House committee had with Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, and he was a little crabby.
More like Louis de Cranky.
No kidding.
Also, Mark Pocan, if you're listening right now, come on our show. We love you. He's a deadhead, too. Did you know that?
I did not know.
He's a deadhead.
Very cool. And he's been concerned about this for quite a while. There's an opinion piece in the Cap Times from February of this year, and the headline says, Pocan fights to get the mail delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an important reminder, there are people in rural areas who really depend on the mail for prescriptions and other things like that. And I don't understand the financing of the Postal Service and why it's such a mess, because it really is, to me, a very convoluted mess. And I know that we want to do it as efficiently as possible, but cutting everything just to save money and then watching this service disappear or become inefficient.
Or private, or like seriously privatized. Yeah.
And this should be concerning, like Mark Pocan said, this should be concerning for both sides of the aisle. Because as we've talked about, Republicans now are all about voting early and banking your vote.
Yep.
Get it done, except for the former president. But, you know, like the rest of the party's fine. So they have a vested interest in this, too.
Well, and I remember in 2020, in the springtime, but more so in the fall during the election time, real nervousness happening about the mail, because Louis DeJoy was in charge and had a very meek a very bleak outlook on the Postal Service. And Trump was he was absolutely happy to make sure that these ballots were stopped and slowed. And that was a cursory effort in 2020 because DeJoy was new.
Yep.
Everything was, 2020 seems so quaint now. But in 2024, he's been in office for a while. There will be shenanigans with the mail. And Republicans are like, oh, there's ballot dumps and ballots and blah. I don't think it's going to be the Democrats who are trying to mess with the mail now. And if Louis DeJoy can put his finger on the brake, he will.
But again, that's not going to help the Republicans. If they're trying to encourage their voters to vote early and bank your votes and absentee ballots and all that stuff, it's going to harm everyone. That doesn't hurt their cause.
Yes, but it's the same argument as like, oh, the election was stolen. Then why did your other guys win? It makes no sense. They think that the Democrats are trying to ruin everything or sabotage everything. It's like, if we sabotage it for Republicans, as far as voting goes, we're going to sabotage ourselves.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense to make the argument or throw the accusation out there. So between now and November, fire Louis DeJoy. That's what I say.
I think there would be a lot of people who would agree with you.
Yeah.
And you bring up a very good point just as far, and I've always said this too, if the election was stolen, then all of the elected officials who maintain that it was stolen and were elected on that ballot should have to resign, right?
Yeah. Yes.
If the election was, it wasn't, it was just that one race, really? Yeah.
Just that one race on
no,
the entire
ballot? No. If there was that much cheating and the election was stolen in 2020 and you were elected in that time cycle, you should resign.
Yes. Start over, at least, really. Call it, you know, we're calling this one a draw. We got to go back and try again.
Got to go. Exactly. Yeah. All right. News is coming up next. When we return, Dan Schaefer will be here from the award-winning Recombobulation area. And keep sending in your mom stories. Mother's Day is on Sunday. We're going to talk about your favorite mom memories coming up at 11:30. Keep it close right here. Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Kelvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon actively continues to ruin. Before we have our guests join us, we want to do a little clarification. Right before we went to the news, we were talking about a very apparently cranky Postmaster General Louis DeJoy in a closed-door hearing about why the post office is getting worse, and we want to clarify something.
The United States Postal Service, the USPS, also known as the Post Office, U.S. Mail, or Postal Service, is an independent agency of the executive branch of the United States federal government responsible for providing postal service in the United States, its insular areas, and the associated areas. So it is not a private organization, but is an independent organization still in the executive branch. And I would like to blame Calvin for not stopping me for saying such stupid things.
Jeez, Calvin. I mean, come off. By the way, if you ever have a complaint, you can always send it to our producer, Calvin. And what is Calvin's email address, Greg? It's kind of complicated.
It's calvin.djhappyslide@myspace/angelfire.gov.
And .org. Don't forget that.
Oh, sorry. .org. .org. All right. My apologies.
He joins us every Friday at this time from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. You keep bringing home that hardware from the Milwaukee Press Club. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. Good morning and congratulations again. We cannot hear you. There you are. Okay.
Now we can hear you.
You got me now?
Now we
am
got
I coming
you.
Through okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, yeah. But thank you and good morning. And, you know, take it easy on Calvin, Greg. I think this one's your fault.
Calvin cut his feed. Cut all their feeds.
Calvin is all powerful. He controls all the buttons. So
that's true. That's
Calvin,
true.
Calvin pretty that's, much rules our world.
That's why I'm playing to Calvin here. I don't care about Greg. Just trying to make sure Calvin's
nobody does.
You got to stay on Calvin's good side.
I've won no award.
So you picked up three more, right?
Yes, we did. It was and it was exciting because it was not just me this year at the Recombobulation area. I was able to bring a couple people along with us. Phil Rocco, Marquette University professor who wrote an amazing series on the shared revenue and local control bill last year. He won gold for his series for best explanatory series. Congratulations to Dr. Rocco there. And then also Angela Lang, the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. She won silver for best single editorial for a piece she wrote about Black voters and Joe Biden. So very exciting stuff. I also won for best column, which award I've now won four times. So well, very exciting stuff.
Congratulations. Just a reminder, subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. Mm-hmm. Seriously, you do wonderful work and you do very detailed reporting on the state of politics in Wisconsin. And this is more important than ever. So
yeah.
I would highly recommend you subscribe today. You have a new post up today, Dan. State Senate Democrats have a candidate running in every race aimed for $20 million in funding. This hasn't happened ever.
Yeah. Well, we have new maps now in Wisconsin. You may have heard. At the
Recombobulation about that.
Twice about new maps, and we're starting to get a sense of what the landscape is going to be. And I was at a press event that the Wisconsin Democrats were holding in Milwaukee earlier this week. It was on their No More Games campaign, which was pressuring a number of members of the Joint Finance Committee. We can talk a little bit about that too. But the state Senate leader. Democratic leader Dianne Hasselbein mentioned in that press conference that for the first time in more than 20 years, there is a Democrat running in every race in the Wisconsin State Senate. Pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the half of the state Senate is up every year. So this is 16 races. You know, not quite the lift that the assembly sees in trying to find candidates for 99 races. But I think this is a really significant thing for Democrats in the state Senate to be able to compete everywhere. You know, in the 2022 election, there were five races of the 17 on the ballot that there were no Democrats
right.
running there. And I think now, you know, even in some long shot districts, to have a candidate on the ballot to be able to build some support for the long term, I think this is a pretty big deal. And not only is it, do they have a candidate now running in every race, they're going to have some funding, unlike really ever before for these races too. So the Associated Press reported earlier this week, that state Senate Democrats had reserved $7 million in, television ads for five, key races, in the state Senate. And then I talked to one of the leaders with the State Senate Democratic Campaign Committee. They said they're aiming to spend $20 million to put the state Senate in range to be flipped in 2026. It's a long shot for this year just because of the
sure.
the makeup of, you know, the only half being on the ballot. But it's currently, you know, the current makeup of the state Senate is 22 Republicans to just 10 Democrats. After this election, you know, if they win all five of those races that they're putting funding towards, could end up a much closer state Senate, could be 18 to 15 instead of 22 to 10, which I think would have huge implications for how governing works in Madison in the state capitol. And so, you know, obviously a lot of game left to be played in this next 6 months. But I think just to set the foundation to have, you know, a quote unquote professional campaign running in all 16 races with these five being highlighted, I think this is a pretty big deal. And I think this is going to be, you know, a really interesting step for Democrats in their quest to take back control of the state legislature after so many years not having that opportunity under gerrymandered maps.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area. We are talking about the fact that Democrats will have a candidate running in every single Senate district this November. It hasn't happened in a long, long time. And I genuinely believe, Dan, that this is what the most people in Wisconsin want. They want to see a fair fight. They want to see a little balance, because when I look at some of the Republican supermajorities in other states, like Tennessee, for example, or Missouri, we don't want that.
No.
I don't want that for either party. I don't want a Democratic supermajority either. I don't think that's good. I just don't.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing, you know, that right now there's a supermajority in the state Senate. And the state Senate has the opportunity now with these Republican leaders to really obstruct a whole lot of different things and block a whole lot of different things. You know, there's been a record number of cabinet appointments that the state Senate has effectively fired or voted down or whatever in so many different ways. And I think with slimmer margins where you don't have, where, you know, right now, if they lose a couple Republican votes on something, that it doesn't really matter to the same degree. But if they, you know, when you, if you have to worry about every last vote, that matters. And I think part of talking about this in the context of the other campaign that WISC Dems are running, this No More Games campaign, that they are putting pressure on a number of members, Republican members of the Joint Finance Committee. You know, we're hearing in the news just how obstructive they are in, you know, not taking action on PFAS and water contamination, not taking action on, you know, healthcare facilities closing in Western Wisconsin. Yeah. I think they finally took action after a really long time and having to put pressure on them to take action on opioid addiction funding, settlement funding there. And so, you know, there's a you know, Ben Wickler from the state party gave a speech there just talking about how long under Republican control, we haven't really had an opportunity to pressure some members of the Joint Finance Committee in this way because they were so insulated from public accountability because of the maps. And now, you know, with new maps, with a number of these members of the Joint Finance Committee being vulnerable in some of these state Senate districts in particular, I think it makes sense to ratchet up the pressure. So I think two in particular that they mentioned at that press conference, Dewey Strobel, who is a Republican incumbent, who's going to be running in the 8th Senate district. That's going to be a toss-up seat. They're pressuring him there. And then also Joan Bollweg, who is the current incumbent in the 14th district. She's actually moving to remain in the 14th district. That includes kind of areas north of Dane County, Baraboo, Wisconsin Dells, a number of areas there. That's going to be a toss-up seat. Actually, the New York Times featured one of the Democratic candidate there in a recent podcast episode, Sarah Kieski. I'd recommend you check that one out. Episode of The Run-Up, which was terrific. So I think those are some of the candidates that they will be highlighting to pressure them to actually be accountable to voters for the first time in more than 12 years, which was not happened, of course, under gerrymandered maps.
How do you think it plays, Dan, when they move to a different district just so they can get reelected? At least from what I can tell, Lauren Bobo Boebert in Colorado, who's pretty much, we haven't heard from her, it feels like, in weeks. She's tried that in Colorado, and that doesn't seem to be working out for her very well. But she also has a much broad, people are far more aware of her reputation, I think, than some of our elected officials.
Right. Not that they would be, you know, wholly that different from Lauren Boebert in a lot of cases for a lot of Wisconsin state legislators. But I think there are a number of them who are moving to districts that are more favorable for Republicans. So, like, for example, the current Republican incumbent in the 30th state Senate district, Eric Wimberger, this is the Green Bay area district. You know, that district is now going to be a Democratic advantage pickup seat. It leans about 6 points Democratic. He's moving to the second district so he can run in a much more favorable seat. And that's got a double digit Republican advantage there. So basically leaving an open seat. Real pickup opportunity for Democrats there. So there's a lot of that going on. I think Bollweg's is a little bit different because she still represents a lot of what she was before and will still be in the same, you know, the same numbered district. But I think there are a lot of Republicans who are moving to more favorable seats. And, you know, that's it's just the nature of the game there. They don't want to face the competition in some of these places.
Way to stand and fight for what you believe in, you guys. Well done. So impressed.
Well, and that actually brings up a point that I was thinking about today before we had you on the show, is that with these sitting elected officials moving house to different districts. Also, how does the statewide GOP just feel about actually having to raise money now to put them into spots that are contentious or maybe not even because, you know, when you come out and say we're spending big money to win, now the GOP has to raise money, which the GOP, being states versus nation, is different. Of course, it's not easy for them to raise money because, of course, you got Trump knocking on doors saying, give me some of that. I want some of that, especially if you use my name. So it's got to at least be causing bigger headaches than it ever has, because now they actually have to put the work into these districts. Even if they're long shots, they still have to secure them somehow.
And I imagine they'll be trying to spread money all over the place.
Well, and don't go asking for money from the RNC because they have different priorities.
Yeah. So it's something, I mean, I know the answer is probably bigger than we can give at the moment if we want to talk about it on the other side of the break, but it's just like, they're probably quaking in their cowboy boots a little bit.
I did want to share this text that came in for you. Dan Sue from the 414 said, is asking, who was it that was trashing his articles? I think she's talking about Derek Van Orden. Dan should send them a copy of all his recent awards. You should just put it on Twitter, Dan, and call it the Kick Rocks Awards.
Yeah,
that's right. I should
have one of them turn into a wrestling belt.
You know, I ran a sale for that too. We got a lot of new subscribers from the Kick Rock special when we did that a few weeks ago. That was fun.
We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me? Matt Nair on air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Good choice of bump music there, Calvin. Talking about winning, Dan Schaefer is here from the award-winning Recombobulation Area. He joins us every Friday at this time. Let's talk about Senator Tammy Baldwin and recent comments she made about what's going on in the atrocity that's going on in Gaza. That's what it is.
Yeah, I think, we've seen the right really jump on these comments from Tammy Baldwin, but I think I have so much respect for what she had to say here. So there was a piece in Politico yesterday talking about how a number of vulnerable senators or senators projected to be in close races who were kind of a little bit squishy on their comments on President Biden's plan to allow Palestinian refugees into the United States. Obviously, we know that Republicans are making immigration, a real wedge issue and really dialing up the xenophobia and anti-immigrant sentiment. Some Democrats were kind of, equivocating a little bit and what their comments were going to be, but not the case for Tammy Baldwin, which I have so much respect for. I'm going to read her statement to Politico here. She said, the U.S. has a proud tradition of sheltering innocent civilians fleeing war and persecution while also ensuring American safety. Refugees are thoroughly vetted before they enter the United States to ensure they are not a threat to Americans. So I just have so much respect for Baldwin coming down on the right side of this issue. We should be welcoming refugees in the United States who are coming from horrible experiences like this, like what so many people are experiencing in Gaza, in Ukraine, in Afghanistan, and all over the world. And we need more people to come to Wisconsin. And I think we should welcome this opportunity to welcome Palestinian immigrant refugees here, if that's the case too. And I thought the response from Eric Hovde, from a number of Wisconsin Republicans, was just despicable. And I think I'm just my hat is off to Baldwin for taking the stand on the right side of this issue.
And I think it's important for folks to remember, and especially people who are very upset with what's happening between Israel and Hamas, and there's plenty of reasons to be very, very upset about that. But Trump has said that if he gets a second term, he's going to reinstitute a Muslim ban.
Right.
This is not going to be an administration that is going to deal with more compassion with the Palestinian people than the current administration, despite its flaws and despite what is happening. That's not going to happen under Donald Trump.
Yeah. And I think, and not only just Donald Trump, but up and down the ballot too, you know, you seeing the response from candidates like Hovde, from a number of Republicans who are, you know, just fear-mongering about Palestinian refugees, and, you know, accepting people from war-torn parts of the world is such an important part of America's history. And I think we stand on the right side of history when we stand up and do the right thing, even if it might not be the most politically easy thing to do. And I think, you know, you look at comments from some other Democratic senators here, you know, who were talking about different things, John Tester, Sherrod Brown, in really difficult races in Montana, in Ohio, in you know, keeping a Democratic senator in states that Trump won. You know, they have a difficult path for that. So they're talking about, you know, wanting to, you know, see if, you know, refugees would go to some countries in the Arab world first, or you know, focus on other things or whatever. And I just think it means a lot to see Baldwin not equivocate on this and you know, not and be on the right side of things and say that, you know, we you know, have a process here. And as long as people are going through the process, and they should be able to enter the United States and come here and build a life here and, you know, enjoy the freedom and democracy that we have in this wonderful country.
It would really be a shame if John Tester gets tossed out of Montana. It really would. He's been there a long time. He has long roots there. He's a Montanan. He's a rancher. And the guy who's running against him has been caught lying about what it's like, the George Santos disease. It's like pink eye among politicians. It just spreads so easily.
Well, it's the George Santos stuff. There's also like the, you know, the carpetbagger caucus among so many, you know, Senate candidates in this cycle, whether it's, you know, whether it's Hovde, whether it's McCormick in Pennsylvania. So many of these candidates, you know, have a lot of baggage going to them. But, you know, I think we're going to obviously the conflict in Gaza is not an issue that's going away. The immigration issue is not one that's going away. And I think, you know, so many Democrats have in the past just tried to kind of be Republican light on this issue. And I saw, you know, it talked about this in the polling, in the Marquette poll, how Republicans have really made, you know, the border and immigration and like a top issue in this race, even if it's really not one among Democrats. But I think it's important for Democrats to have a message on this and not just be Republican light. And I think that path that Baldwin is carving out here is the right one.
Do you think they perceive Tammy Baldwin as being vulnerable?
Well, I think it's Wisconsin, right?
It's
Wisconsin is a toss-up race. Every statewide race that we have here is, you know, going to be closely contested. So I think, you know, to whatever extent she's vulnerable, she was way ahead of Hovde in a poll, Quinnipiac poll earlier this week. She was ahead by double digits. And I think that's pretty significant. But at the same time, like, Republicans know that if they win Wisconsin, they're going to take the Senate.
Yeah.
So, you know, to whatever extent, they're probably going to be pouring more money into Montana, into Ohio, into some other, you know, closely contested races, Arizona, around the country. But I think, you know, they know that if they win in Wisconsin, that they are going to win the Senate. So they are going to throw everything they've got. And we know there's going to be some outside funding too. You know, there was just a story, I don't know if it was late last week, early this week, that a Uline funded super PAC, what a surprise, already had to pull a misleading ad about Baldwin. So we know those types of attacks that we saw similarly on Mandela Barnes a couple of years ago are going to be ratcheted up in the campaign against Baldwin here too.
Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. You can read why he receives so many Kick Rocks awards. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday from 10:30 to 11. Thank you so much, Dan. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Stay close. News is coming up next, and then we're going to talk Let's make a deal with the oil and gas companies. It's going to be good. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. While I'm sipping on this gin, Al Davis said it best, just win, baby, win. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.